A reading from Radharasudaniti, and today is a new verse, verse 247, which is a sequel to yesterday's verse and discussion over a couple of days. We heard about Krishna becoming bewildered because of love of Radharani, the intensity and purity and sweetness of her charms and a loving expression. So much so that he saw himself reflected in Radharani's form, and he saw two of himself in Radharani's stan, or gucha, her breast, and he started speaking very crazy talks. So now the esteemed author, Prabhunanda Saraswati, he's had that vision while he was chanting, because he's so advanced, his consciousness is pure, his heart is full of love of God and nothing else. So Krishna, Yogamaya, opened up the whole spiritual dimension for him, because it's right here, it's not there. Where is it? It's here. It's right in front of us, it's within us, it's without us. As Krishna says in Gita, 9th chapter, verse 4, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina. He says, everything is inside of me. Everything is inside of me, and I am outside of everything as well. Very interesting verse, 9:4 of Gita. So this is the nature of the spiritual world, as we've often heard, or we must have heard. Even our Lord Jesus, one of the most famous preachers of the recent times, and he said, the kingdom of God is within you. That's the truth. The kingdom of God is within us and without us. It's inside of us, inside of our heart, in the inner reaches of our purified mind and heart. We can actually see God. We can see all the players in his pastimes. We can see all the varieties of his leelas like a kaleidoscope before the eyes of a young child. He holds the tunnel of the kaleidoscope and he turns it, and there's so many multicolored patterns and designs that appear inside what they call a kaleidoscope. You know, kaleidoscope? It's a little tube and there's a bunch of little square pieces of plastic, and you turn it and it makes so many interesting patterns. Each time a new one. So that's the nature of the spiritual world. Every time one tunes in there, or one is allowed to go there, then he sees some new feature of the reality that exists behind the screen of Maya. Krishna's telling in the Gita, it says, Naham Prakashya Sarvasya Lokayam. It says, Lokayam. Yogamaya Samanvrita. Thank you. He says that Krishna, Naham Prakash. Prakash means evident, visible. Can you see me? And I'm visible to your eyes and heart. Can you see me? Can you feel me? Can you speak to me? Can you hear me? So this is Naham Prakash. I'm not visible to most everyone. I'm way beyond. And although I'm right inside one's heart, and right and outside one's heart also, so the whole spiritual dimension and the whole reality of Krishna's Astakali Leela is within us, and it's without us. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina. 9th chapter Gita, verse 4. So Saraswati Pad, in the previous verse, when he would tune into that spiritual realm within him, within the inner sanctum of his consciousness, purified by bhakti bhajan and showing the ideal example of taking shelter of Vrindavan, living in a forest on the banks of the Yamuna, always seeing the Yamuna before his eyes, and sitting under the beautiful shade of Kadamba trees and the Kali Kadamba trees of the Leela Stali of Kaliadaha. Saraswati Pad would enter the deepest states of spiritual reality, leaving what we consider to be real far, far behind. We're very much absorbed in this external realm, loka maya, samanrita. We're all the loka, all the people, including us, were covered by this veneer or this curtain of Maya, so we can't see the spiritual world. We can't see it. We can't hear it. We can't perceive it. We chant Kam Gayatri. Do we hear Krishna's flute? It's there. The Kam Gayatri, Klim Kamadevaya Vidnhe. That is Krishna's flute. Brahma was given divine ears and heart to perceive the transcendental primordial vibration. He heard Om, and everything, all knowledge manifested in his heart just from the vibration Om. The whole ocean, the entire ocean of transcendental knowledge became Prakash. Sarvavidya Prakash. All the knowledge became manifested in his heart. And then he went deeper. Then he heard the flute. He didn't have the adhikara to enter the Madhurya Goloka Vrindavan, but he had darshan. Brief and momentary as it was, he was way up there in relation to distance from us to him. He was up there, Brahmalok, way up there, and he saw this Aishwarya Goloka Vrindavan. Then he prayed, Chintamani prakarasat mashakalpa viksha lakshavriteshu surabir abhipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam Govinda mari purusham tamham vajami. I'm seeing Govinda, Krishna Govinda, the beautiful sweet coward boy with all the surabhi cows. I'm seeing the gopis, but I'm seeing the gopis and I'm saying Lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam. He said, I'm seeing thousands and unlimited numbers of Lakshmis. Because he saw the gopis, but he saw them in their Aishwarya Sarup, in their Aishwarya aspect. He saw Goloka Vrindavan because there's no Govinda Adi Purusham in Vaikuntha. He didn't see Vaikuntha, he saw Goloka Vrindavan. But the Acharyas in chapter 28 of the 10th canto, and their commentaries, and also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Brihad Bhagavatamrita and numerous other shastras, they're explaining how there is in fact two golokas, one Aishwarya Goloka and one Madhurya. So this experience that Brahma had of Goloka, of this Goloka Vrindavan, of Braja Gokul, was Naham Prakashya Sarvasya. The whole veil of Maya was lifted from his eyes. And he saw, because he wasn't a Raghunuga Bhakta, he didn't take initiation in Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he wasn't able to see the Madhurya Goloka, but he saw the Aishwarya. That's why he's saying, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam. He said, I saw cows, I saw Govinda, I saw the cows, I saw the Chintamani, I saw the Brajamumi, and I saw Brajamumi, but I didn't see it as Brajduli. I didn't see it as Brajduli, and I didn't see it as Goduli. But for the Madhurya Upasaka, the Madhurya Rati Upasaka, one is worshipping in Madhurya Rati, he doesn't see that Aishwarya description which is sprinkled throughout even our Goswami Shastras, Brajariti Chintamani and Govinda Lilamrita. You read Krishna's big palaces and lapis lazuli walls and golden coral pillars and crystal ceilings and the most unbelievable, inconceivable, invisible opulence and royalty you could ever imagine or dream about or even write about in the fanciful mind of the most creative writer. He couldn't produce such a opulent, grand and royal setting. And people say, well, you know, I thought that Krishna was a coward boy. And he doesn't have shoes, because the gopis are praying in Gopi Geet. Your feet are adorning the land of Vrindavan. Your feet are adorning the land of Vrindavan, and we can see the marks of your feet. But this is not available even in any one of the millions of Vaikuntha planets. Sahasra Koti Vaikuntha planets. Sahasra Koti. Millions and millions of unlimited planets. Ananta Lokam. But you won't find the chinna, the 19 chinna on the bottom of Krishna's feet. You won't find them marking and adorning and ornamenting the land of Vaikuntha. Why? Vishnu also has marks on his feet. I don't know how many. I never really looked into it. But Krishna has 19. He has 11 on his right foot and 8 on his left foot. And Radharani has 11 on her left foot and 8 on her right foot, opposite. And different ones, and same also, some. Why? Because Vishnu wears shoes. Just like you come from the West and you walk all around Vrindavan in shoes, so you don't leave your footprints. You don't collect any footprints either. You don't leave any footprints. No one can trace you out or follow you. Where are you going? Where you came from? Where you went? And you're not collecting any dhuli, braj dhuli, dust of Vrindavan, or go dhuli, the dust of Krishna's cows, or Radha Krishna yugal dhuli, Radha Krishna yugal dhuli, the dust of the feet of Radha and Krishna doesn't go inside, doesn't go in your feet or in your heart. First it enters your feet, the dust of Vrindavan, then it sprinkles in your heart. Then it rains in your mind. It rains down the mind. Praja Duli is raining in your mind. Wow. A shower of dust. And then that shower, that dust of Vrindavan removes the dirt in our hearts. The dust of Vrindavan. We roll in it. We eat it every day. We walk in it. That dust, actually it's amazing. I remember when I was small. Let's say I'm still small, but younger and small. And I was in school, and I was late. I had to stay after because I was bad, small, bad, small, bad, small boy. And then I was leaving, and when I was leaving, there was hardly anyone in the school, and the janitor, who means the cleaner of the building, he was cleaning the floors, and I never knew how they did it. I was little, didn't learn this part of the world. And he was sprinkling red dust. He had a canister, he was sprinkling red dust all over the floor. And I said, what are you doing? You're sprinkling red dust all over the floor. It was red in color. And it's already, the floor is so dirty with dust and mud from the shoes and all that, from all the hundreds of students. He said, no, this is special dust. This actually cleans and polishes the floors. I know America is a little crazy ideas, but so I thought, wow, the spiritual world is inconceivable. Even the material world is inconceivable. He spread dirt all around the floors to clean up the dirt. So he said, watch how it works. So he spread this red dust everywhere. Then he had this dry duster, a big wide thing, because it's a big job, you know. It's about 5 feet wide. It was like some kind of cotton, and like a duster, but on a stick. Everything has to be kind of turned into a machine. You're not going to get down like this, like some Indian peasant lady or something, and crouch down. And there's a huge hallway. It goes on for miles. So he runs down, ta 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 ta, then he pushes this thing, and somehow it has some power to absorb and collect all the bad dust into the good dust, into the red dust. And then the floors look very shiny and very clean, like a mirror. I said, and he said, see it. I said, wow, that's like magic. Magic red dust. And I never saw that red dust again. And then I came to Vrindavan. And I discovered black dust. Everywhere black dust. The clay of Vrindavan, the Braja Raj. Why is it black? Because Krishna is running everywhere, all over the place, and he's black. So naturally the dust of Vrindavan is black. What other color can it be? And in selected places that are very blessed, especially by Radharani's feet, the dust is yellow. There's only two colors of earth in Vrindavan, yellow and black. Radharani is yellow and Krishna is black. Nice, huh? So now this dust, this dust goes inside of you, it attracts that dust. This is the analogy, if you want to bring it together. It's not red, it's black. And it's not red, it's yellow. And when you roll in it and you eat it, you eat the dirt. Eat the dirt, man. Like some cowboy movie in the West, guys. He said, get down, eat the dirt of my boots, you villain. This town is not big enough for both of us. Either you go or I go. So face my put your back to my back, take 10 steps and turn around. It's a cowboy movie. So they stand like this. And they go, 1, 2, 3. And the other guy doesn't know how to count very well. So he gets to 9 and he turns around and shoots the other guy in the back. Dong. Because they're supposed to, you know, they're back to back. Then you walk 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you both turn around at 10. Then you shoot. And whoever wins lives. Whoever loses, Haribo. So one guy, he's a little clever. He says, this is not a time to be honest. When you're about to die, you don't know what to do. Maybe you're not honest. You cheat and chant Hare Krishna. Maya wants you to be honest and go to hell, but then you're trying to get liberated. So at the last moment you say, Hare Krishna. And then Krishna, oh good, come. That's all I just waiting to hear that. So this is the dust of Vrindavan. So Saraswati Pad had this amazing experience of seeing Krishna in his meditation. Now he sat down and said, that was amazing. Like sometimes you have a wonderful dream and you just can't wait to go back to sleep. When you wake up, you say, wow, that was much better than this. Can I come back? Can I see part two? Like they have Superman part one or Godzilla 1 and 2 and whatever. They have different movies, sequels, you know, the 1 and 2 or whatever. So dream one, wow, I was there. I was walking on Govardhan Parikrama like I saw on Satchinanda's Facebook a few weeks ago. He had some, I was dreaming. I was on Parikrama. And I thought, wow, why did you wake up? Just stay, don't wake up. Just right from there, you know. Send your articles from there. Just stay sleeping on that Prikamarg and see what kind of experiences you fall into and just dictate your experiences from dreamland. This is Swami Satchinandan. I'm dreaming. It's been about 10 days so far. But I want to share some of my dreams. Wow, amazing. So that's what it means. Some devotees have left what we call the reality and entered what we call the dream world. He's a dreamer. They say, oh, look at this person. He's a dreamer. He's always has his head in the sky. Which sky? Well, I asked him, I said, your head is in the sky. You're always dreaming. Where is it? My head is in the spiritual sky. Srila Prabhupada ki. Where was his head? Did his head look horizontally into the realm of the Maya Jagat that we all live in and devour with our eyes looking in 360 degrees all the time? Where is something for me? Oh, let's go to the mall so my eyes can go surfing. You know, body goes surfing, you have a board and you go lie on it and go like this and get some momentum from the waves, uplift, and then you stand up and then you're surfing, you know, on the surfboard. So everyone wants to go to the mall and go surfing with their eyes. Each storefront is a wave. You know, a wave, a taranga. So you walk down and you go like this and like that and like this and like that. Oh, look at that, look at that. And whew, you catch the wave. You catch the wave with your eyes and you're running. Oh, that's nice. How much is that? And then this is the vision of everyone is looking in this world. And Krishna and Prabhupada, when he walked anywhere, he was like this. So, Satsarup, you're writing articles for Bhakti Godhead. This is good. Krishna will bless you. You ever saw Srila Prabhupada? Did you ever see him once look at the material world? The material world is on this plane, the horizontal plane, and he was looking in the vertical plane. Like, you know, when they go to Mars or they have a rocket launch, they don't say, okay, we're going to Mars, and they don't set the rocket like this. Okay. Here's the countdown. You can see NASA on the television. The rocket is lying like this. The rocket is pointed like this. And it goes like that. Well, there they go, 10, 9, 8, 7. So this Saraswati Pad was sitting there looking at Yamuna. Wow, Kalindi, you showed me such a nice pastime, and I wrote it because of you. It was Kalindi, it was Navalata, Kalindi Tata Navalata Mandir. You showed me this beautiful pastime. I saw some devotee. I was moving around Radhakund in different samadhis, and I saw one devotee perched in a very hidden place, a Western devotee, and he was covered completely with a cloth and his chadar, and he was totally absorbed in looking at Radhakund. But below, it was above, he found some little hole in the wall on the perimeter of Radhakund, so he could because down on the steps there's thousands of millions of people and 500 little urchins. These little urchins that go around and sell ghee lamps. Have you encountered some of them? You know, you're trying to meditate. Take a ghee lamp. Like, you know, they're just a new feature of distraction. Every day there's a new feature of distraction in the material world. Look at this, look at that, listen to this, listen to that, buy this, buy that, need this, want that. When I was born, I didn't know that I had so many wants. When I grew up, I realized, oh, wow, I want it all. So they're really disturbing elements. They're so small and so cute and so innocent and so rascal. They harass and disturb every single person in Radhakund. At least you get disturbed 20 times. Are you sitting there? You know? Yes? Go like this.
Every day it looks like this.
So then you realize, guess what? The kingdom of God is within you. I have to go inside because outside is like, the whole idea, what is the message here? The message here is, it's not happening here. Guess what? It's not happening here. You can't sit here and try to meditate. You can't sit here and try to pray. It's impossible. Too much distraction. And they'll poke you. I was just sitting there. I closed my eyes for a second. And within that second, it was almost like each one of these children is one manovritti. One wave of thought taking you away from your dhyan, your meditation on Krishna. And the manovritti means the waves of the mind. They come in endless waves like the waves in the ocean. Psh, 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 psh. He lived near the beach and waves go poof. Very nice for sleeping. You can buy a CD with waves. They have two. When I was a child or a teenager, they had one CD. One side was birds singing. That was so you could wake up after a long night or after many long days sleeping. Then the other one was waves, so you could go to sleep. So the mind is like that, crashing every second some new thought. So I just closed my eyes and I started to pray to Radharani. And it's some broken English. It was very cute. It was very nice. And what I wanted to do was actually pick up that little girl and give her some neck beads. No, I wanted to pick her up and give her an opportunity to take a Radhakund bath in the middle of Radhakund. Because I would pick her up and I hope you can't swim. I mean, Radhe Shyam, Kuna Mai Radharani Ki Jai. So then he says, Gilap, no? It's beautiful. They're better than my Hindi, I'll tell you that. He said, Gilap, no? And I'm not opening my eyes. I'm going to try for 1 minute without distraction. And I said, Gilap, no? No? You, no like Radharani? No like Radharani? You aparadi. This is mixed English and in English with a little bit of, you know, tattva also. She knows the tattva. He says, me giwik no? Me deepam no? And I was just still, I said, get the hell. You know, I was just quiet, trying to be like Shanti. And then she's, no deepam? You aparadi. I said, and I kept my eyes closed. I said, that you got one thing right. You're right, I'm an aparadi. That means an offensive person, an undesirable person is an aparadi. That's what it means. And then, so little did I know that she set a ghee lamp on my lap with a little clay. She set it on my lap. And then I said, I can't meditate any longer. After 94 seconds, I was finished. So then I decided to head for a quieter area, which was inside there. And when I stood up, she said, oh, oh, oh! When I was sitting there, and my eyes closed, like lotus posture, and then I just opened and started to stand up and make my move. And she was sitting there waiting for me to come out of my, whatever, hiding. My eyes closed, and when I stood up, she, oh, oh! And she, me deepam, or something like that, and she grabbed my deepam, which was about to fall off my lap and crash and break on the steps. And I didn't even know. I was like, what's going on? I just stood up and started walking. And then this guy that was sitting next to me when I sat down, he was laughing like anything. He was enjoying the fun. So that Saraswati Pati was meditating, then he saw this beautiful pastime, which we're hopefully going to discuss today. And this is just the introduction to the class. I hope you're well introduced by now and wondering where we are and where we're going and when we'll get back to where we're supposed to be. But we're just there. It's the next verse, in fact. Yesterday was 246 and this is 247. They're back-to-back blissful experiences of Krishna's pastimes. Yesterday, the star was Krishna. And the co-star was Radha, the Mandris and the Sakis. And today the star is Radha. And the co-star is Krishna and all the Sarika Mandris and Siddhas and Gopis and Sakis that are in assembly. So what he saw, I saw yesterday Krishna in a most embarrassing and amazing pastime. And today I saw Radharani. So what is that pastime? Verse 247. Radharas Sudanidhi. Samgatyapi mahotsavena madara karam ridhi prayasha swachayam abhiviksha koshtuva mano sambhuta shoka krudha ukshipta priyapani tishta sunayet yuktva Gataya bahi sakye sasra nivedanani kimaham shoshyami te radike. What is the translation? Saraswati Pad says, when, O Radha, kim aham shoshyami te radike? When, O Radhe, just after you meet Shyam at the beginning of your love festival, will I hear you sarcastically tell Krishna, oh, you knower of morality, stay away from me. Then I will watch you push away Krishna's hand before you storm out of the kunj to go angrily lament to your girlfriends with tear-filled eyes that you saw some other girl embracing Krishna, but actually It was Radharani's own reflection, which she saw in Krishna's Kaustubha Mani, the beautiful red ruby. Kaustubha Mani is a red ruby around Krishna's neck. It's a red something, it's red in color, and the most valuable red jewel that we have is called the ruby, but it's red. That was proven to me after inquiry from my well-wishers. So this is the verse. Here Radharani's bewildered, and the other verse Krishna was bewildered, because it's Prem Vri Brahm. This is the effect of love, that one becomes bewildered. And everyone knows about that. That when you're really in love, you forget who you are and where you are and why you are or what you're about. And everyone writes it off by saying, oh, she's in love, that's why she's acting crazy. He's in love, that's why he's acting crazy. Vibram. So Brahm and Vibram. Vibram means really bewildered. So this is a Leela here, that these are some of the amazing contradictory qualities which are only found in Krishna to make him so beautiful and charming and attractive and incomprehensible and difficult to understand. So that was yesterday. And we quoted here, which is also in the Tika, the Upanishads say that Krishna has two qualities and they're mutually incompatible. Krishna is, he's sarvajna. God is omniscient. God knows everything. But then he's sarvajna and vimugdha. God knows everything, and he forgets. He becomes completely bewildered and forgets everything. He knows I'm God, and I am God, and he's acting like God. Then the next minute, under the impulse or influence of love, then he forgets I'm God and forgets he knows anything, and even confides in his friends and becomes bewildered. I don't know what to do. All the coward boys have entered the mouth of Agasura, that huge python or snake, whatever it was, Agasura demon, and that they're lost, and they're crying, oh, Krishna Mahabaho, Krishna Mahabaho. I don't know what to do. And Krishna was bewildered. He was thinking what to do. Then he thought, oh, I should go there too. So then he entered inside. So we see that, wait a minute, you're supposed to be Sarvajna Bhagavan, all-knowing God, and that's why the demigods were so confused. Because they're seeing Krishna in Braj Leela in his Vimugdha feature. And they know Krishna as in his Sarvajna feature. They know that God, Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, they're all knowing and they're all pervading. They know everything. They're never bewildered for a second. They're running everything so expertly and perfectly. But this little boy, Shiva, was bewildered and confused, and Brahma and Shiva and Indra, they're the biggest players in the whole material universe. There's no one more sattvic or more intelligent than Brahma, and there's no one more passionate or more experienced in material enjoyment than Indra, and there's no one more destructive than Shiva. So they're the full representatives of the entire Maya Jagat. This Devi Dham, Maya Jagat, is composed of Tamagun, Rajagun, and Sattvagun. And there they are, the three lords of Rajagun, Tamagun, and Sattvagun. And they're completely befuddled and confused. Is this Gopal God? He's so bewildered. He runs in fear of his mother, and tears are trickling down his eyes, washing the cudgel off his eyes. His cute little eyes are so fearful and innocent. His mother's chasing with a stick, going to tie him up. And he said, oh, don't tie me up. I didn't steal. I didn't do it. The other coward boys did. So he's always stealing yogurt, and he's always getting caught, and he's always lying. He gets caught by a coward man. In their own house. And he's got yogurt all over his feet. yogurt smeared all over his mouth and cheeks, and his fingers are full of yogurt. It's clear he's a thief. Makanchur. And the coward boy is holding his arm and he's saying, "You thief!" And Krishna replies to him, "I'm not a thief, you're a thief." And the gopa, the elderly gopi is just looking, standing behind a pillar, looking at her husband, holding Krishna's arm, and saying, "Oh, he's so cute. He's so adorable, so sweet. And he's such a liar." It's clear we caught him white-handed. Like they say, red-handed. And his yogurt is dripping from his mouth. And as he's lying, even it's coming out of his mouth. I didn't steal. You did. And then the man is holding Krishna. Look at him. He just lets him go. Krishna says, "Ha ha!" Nah, and he runs out, like you see in the little Krishna cartoon. Krishna goes like this, you know. Nah. There's one cartoon. There's this cartoon animation called Little Krishna. And at one time, Krishna is fighting some most ferocious demon. I think it was, what was that guy? One of those guys. Some big guy. I forget it was. I don't know. Whoever it was. Some big demon. And the demon was, "I'm going to kill you." And Krishna went, "Nah." He went like this. You never see. It's very humorous. So this is it. He's a child. And so they became bewildered. So now this is Krishna's personality. What does it say? It says that this all-knowing, omniscient person is also completely subject to bewilderment, because that's love. The love of the coward boys, the love of the gopis, elderly gopis, the love of Yashoda, it just overwhelms Krishna. It steals everything he has. Love steals everything you have. Right? Your money, your time, your life, your everything. Love, basically, when you get down to it, what happened? I was ripped off by love. I was ripped off by love. I met this beautiful girl. I fell in love with her, and she robbed me. She stole my life, my money, my time, my mind. I went crazy. And she won't let me go. It's 10 years, and she's still stealing. And 15 years, and 20 years. I've been married 25 years. And she's robbing me blind every day. And they ask her, what is the situation? "He's a thief! I was an innocent young girl and he stole me. He just kidnapped me." He smiled and we talked and it was all over. He put me in his bag and ran away with me. And then he took me to his den in the forest and he said, let me out of the bag, and said, "All right, little girl, now." It's called marriage. The ultimate kidnapping. So this is love. You get kidnapped. So Krishna gets kidnapped by the coward boys, literally and figuratively. And so then he becomes bewildered. So this Upanishads, they say, what do they say? They say that Rupa Goswami quotes this, and it's also in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhishma Parva. It's a very popular verse, 2593 Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 117308 CC. It's describing Krishna. No flies, but no speaker either. All his incense is burning, the flies are reducing, and so is my lifespan. No, it's okay. It's better die speaking about Krishna. At least there'll be no flies in my nose when I finally goes. Inconceivable. What do they say? He says, "Achintya kalo ye bhava natarkena yojayat." Achintya kalo ye bhava natarkena yojayat. The inconceivable subjects like Prakriti Param, the spiritual reality, the transcendental spiritual nature of Krishna, cannot be understood by argument, not tarkena yojayat. So how do Radha and Krishna become bewildered by each other's own reflections? Is it chintya, inconceivable, but nevertheless extremely attractive. The conclusion is that although Krishna is, I've said all this, in rasa, in tattva Krishna is sarvagya, and the truth is that Krishna knows everything, sarvagya. If he stops knowing everything, then we're in trouble. Because if he doesn't know everything, it means he forgets how to run the universe and forgets how to make the sun rise and fall and the moon rise and fall and the tides come in and out and the winds to blow in fresh air and the clouds. He forgets how he made the whole thing. And he doesn't have any backup CDs. He hasn't backed up the creation program on his hard drive. And he can't reboot the creation. He may forget one day and it all comes crashing down. Like your computer, what they call it, crash. So if he forgets his software, then the whole universe crashes. And that's what happens at Pralaya. Everything crashes down. So this is Krishna in Tattva, he's Sarvagya, but in Rasa and Leela, he's Vimugdha. Because Leela, what is the Leela? He's Leela Purushottam, Krishna. But he's the Supreme Lord and Master, Supreme Personality of pastimes. Leela Purushottam, the supreme enjoyer of unlimited loving pastimes with his surrendered, pure and sweet devotees. And there in the kingdom of Leela, Krishna dances for a ladu. The gopis clap their hands and say, "Listen, Gopal, if you dance, we'll sing a beautiful Brajbhasha song about you, and we'll clap our hands. And if you dance, we'll give you a ladu." Oh! And they start singing, "Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Mana Mana Samanu Pakara Arpaya Nija Pada Pankaja Makarande." And they're singing about Krishna, and Krishna's dancing with his little black string around his waist. Little black string around his waist for the Nazar, the evil eye. "Don't cast an evil eye at my little Gopal." And Krishna around his neck, he has two tiger nails on a gold necklace, and they go like this. And that's also to protect Krishna from pretas and vetalas and other subtle beings that specifically harass newborns and little boys and girls. In the dream, they try to steal their minds in the dreams. So then he has these. So he has a black string, and on that black string there's a gold bell. And then he sometimes wears a little shirt in the winter. But as I mentioned earlier, there's nothing below the black string except Krishna. Because that's very easy for moving files, you know. You drag the files from here to there. So when Krishna wants to download his files, he just... Radhi. In the Hindi calendar, you have to put this one in one of your leelas. It's called the Chichi Mahotsav. You know Chichi Mahotsav? You don't. You can make a leela of this. The Chichi Mahotsav is mentioned in the Hindi calendar, the Hindi yearly calendar like we have in English. Today is Christmas, today is Easter, Thanksgiving, all of whatever this jazz, and that stuff, and that this and that. So it's telling, this is the big utsav, the Braj Mahotsav, the Chichi Mahotsav. Wow. Are you going to celebrate Janmashtami tomorrow? Are you having big cook all day? So they talk. How are you celebrating the Chichi Mahotsav, Brinda? Are you going to celebrate? And then you ask one of the Brijbasis that live here. Say, "What is the Chichi Mahotsav?" And they turn red. They become embarrassed and they start giggling and laughing like a little tiny boy or girl. Oh, and I say, "Come on, no, you don't want to know. This is something special in Vrindavan. No, please tell me." No, I, You'll misunderstand because you are a videshi. You are far from this desh. You're far from this brajadam. I said yes, but please. And besides, if you tell me, I'll give you a donation. That usually works. Money talks, especially with pandas and brahmins. It really talks. So all right, I'll tell you. Well, how much you give? I said, you set the figure. So then they say, and they try to stop laughing long enough to tell you. And they say, the Chichi Mahotsav, don't ask me the rhyme or reason of it. Don't ask me for the logic of it. Don't ask me where is that in Upanishads. Don't ask me where is it in Puranas. Don't ask me the shloka number and the chapter, because that is only Krishna knows and Brijvasis know. But I will simply share, what is a Chichi Mahotsav? Do you know? Do you know what is a Chichi Mahotsav? You may know, because I mentioned once before. Chichi Mahotsav is after Krishna was born, about a few days afterwards, then Yashoda, she went to this one kund, and she went there and she washed Krishna's diapers in this kund. You know, because when you first, little baby makes a lot of mess in the diapers. So chichi in Hindi means like yuck, means like stool, like chichi means, so it's the Krishna, baby Krishna stool festival. Are you celebrating tomorrow? I said, well, and then I asked, well, how do you celebrate it? And he said, oh, our wife cooks these different preparations, and we make an offering to Gopal, and then the grandfather tells us about this, and so this is as it says here, this in the Mahabharata and Bhishma Parva, Achintya Kalo Ye Baba Natar Kena Yoja Yet. The Achintya, the Achintya, inconceivable pastimes of Krishna and Braj, that don't try to Tarkena Pratishta Nabina, that you can't establish it, you can't understand it, you can't fix it in your mind or establish it in your intelligence by using logic, by using reason, by using Shabda Praman. It's just the way it is. And they've been celebrating every year for 5,246 years. And the first Mahotsav was celebrated by Yashoda Ma, the Chichi Mahotsav. So if you missed it this year, please come back next year. Okay? And you can attend the Chichi Mahotsav in a grand way. We'll enact that, you know. So if you can figure that out, then you can figure out this whole verse that we're discussing, how they become bewildered. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki Jai. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.